Is it my episode?
Yes, Zoe hosted the last one.
All right. This shouldn't be too long, but it's about to be 11 o'clock, so it's probably going to be 12:30.
I have 8 moments sad listed. Obviously, I'm not going to, like...
What the hell? I just threw my phone. This is the one episode I expected you to just have the standard five.
I'm going to keep it a
I couldn't come with just five.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I only have six.
Why do you have to overachieve? Why
I have six. I have more in my head, but I only have six written down.
So I ain't going to count. I guess that made me upset because as a black man, I only had four.
Trash.
Honestly, I
fake black man. I'm taking your card.
I was able to get a
again?
Fifth one because I was able to get a fifth one because I really just sat and, like, you know, you can research and do everything you want, but sometimes you gotta just sit in your knowledge and see what affected you or what you remember in your journey, and that's what happened. And I said, you know what, I got a fifth one, so I do have five. But like my top four were the four I got from, like, you know, I knew like the top two I was gonna do. But yeah, like I got those. Like I knew that wasn't like hard, but I did say, dang, I need a fifth one because four just seemed too hard. If I only could have came up with three, then maybe I would have stood there. But I was like, all right, five. So. Okay. When you said eight, I guess that's why it offended me. Because it was myself. Step in, relax, sit down for a bit. Otaku Collective, about to get you lit. Anime and manga and them top five lists. Best podcast, nothing comes close to this. Fire like a snap from Colonel Mustang. Three homies out here killing the game. Hit record and watch them all start to cook. Reviewing anime movies and comic books. Say Otaku. Say Otaku. Otaku Collective Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to your baby mama's favorite podcast. We are the Otaku Collective. With me, as always, are the boys, Zoe and Seth. It's your boy, Josh. Got a good episode this week. So, how y'all doing, first and foremost?
Good, man. Feeling good.
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Ben, what's this? Reading my S-Class Hunters that you recommended me.
Yeah, good shit, good shit.
Yes, sir. I'm on, what chapter is this now? 140.
God damn, you were on 124 yesterday, brother.
I was on 124 whenever I went to sleep last night. I mean, that's only 15 chapters today. I know they're long ass chapters, but
it's like three chapters.
Yeah, it's like three manga chapters per chapter. Yeah. Shit's been good. Oh, did you see what I texted you today as well? Me, you, Zoe, and Zach, text message.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about this with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
So, you know more about the anime than I do. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, okay. So, A Certain Scientific Railgun Season 4 has been announced. Super excited for that. We can continue the adventures of Misaka Makoto. I'm a really big fan of, like, the Tsuraramatsu Index or A Certain Magical Index universe. I remember finding the anime back in high school. I'm like, oh, this is cute. The main character is kind of mid. But, I mean, he progresses a lot throughout the show, and he's got his own little mini harem and whatnot. But then it got spinoffs that clearly people care about a lot fucking more. Obviously, like, with Railgun, and then, what's the other one? With the dude with the vectors and fucking the thing. That's gonna bother me. But anyway, so season four. You know, season. So this is still a prequel / concurrent with the main story, technically. Sue messaged me. Okay. He says, y'all have fun and don't let Zoe be right. So shout out to my boy, Stu. Zoe's never right on his podcast. So don't have to worry about that. But no, Index is dope. I mean, obviously it gives off Yuri vibes, so if you're not a big fan of that, you probably won't like it. But I mean, it's cool.
I didn't even know it's that, by the way. You just informed me on that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, you haven't started it yet.
No, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. This yeah, actually might be, so this might actually be because I've been thinking about trying to like save an anime to watch with my brother whenever I go visit him in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I may save this for that.
No, fair enough. It's weird because I do recommend watching Index first, but Index has like three seasons? Two, three seasons? So it's weird. But yeah, well, yeah. And the Index first, and then go into Railgun. But a lot, yeah, it kind of gives Yuri vibes, like super Yuri slice of life vibes in the beginning, and then it picks up immediately with the clone song and stuff. But I love it. It's a vibe for sure. It's been a while since I watched any of it, let alone season 3 specifically. But I'm excited to dive back into it and probably rewatch everything before season 4 comes out. But for all you Railgun/Index fans, this is a W because I thought this shit was dead and buried for sure. I like until Seth brought it back up, I hadn't thought about it in years. But yeah, this is dope. Try it out.
It's been 5 years. Though. 5 years.
Yeah, it got to the Attack on Titan stage where I'm like, it's probably not happening.
Oh, I do want to mention one thing, right? Mm-hmm. I've told you before how my brother started watching anime.
Correct.
I've been doing this thing where I'll go in and I'll like check on his like anime progress and stuff like that.
Yep.
He started Tokyo Ghoul yesterday. He finished it.
Poor kid.
All three seasons. Today.
Understand your pain, my boy. Especially season 3.
Huh? There's three seasons.
Okay, yeah, that's right
there. Only two of them are canon, but there are three.
Oh, no. My bad. He started season 3 yesterday, and he finished season 3 today. That's 24 episodes. He's also caught up on Solo Leveling. And has watched all of JJK, and has watched all of Blue Lock and as well, and he's getting caught up on ReZero as well, so. He's been watching a lot more anime than I have lately, which makes me happy.
Passing the torch.
Zoe, you watch Classroom of the Elite, right?
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah, I do. At first, I was told, like, one of the Classroom shows was really bad, and then that was the era when I listened to everyone. Now that I kind of don't, like, I got to check out Classroom of the Elite, Assassination Classroom. Because I can't even remember which one of those it was. But one of those, I remember people saying it's a bad anime, don't watch it. So I never checked it out. But that was like 2018, 17? Yeah, late 17, 2018. But no, I've kind of seen some clips now, definitely, of Classroom of the Elite. So no, haven't seen it yet, but it is on the list.
Got you. He's also watched all of Slime Reincarnated now too. Classroom of the Elite as well. So it makes me happy to see that. I was just gonna mention that.
Yeah, cool, man. And I wanted to say I'm excited that you're reading a new manga, you know what I'm saying? Because I started reading Triads X because I saw something about that they were in the final arc. And I had just watched something. I mean, the show didn't have, its anime came out in like 2015. But the fact that it still was ongoing made me kind of tap into it. And it actually really is good. I think the anime made it seem more etchy than it was supposed to be. Because, of course, they did the fan service back then to get people to dial in and whatnot. But it actually is a pretty deep story. I'm on like chapter 10 now. And it's basically like diving back into like, what really is a virus to a city. Like sometimes the people are the viruses, sometimes technology is the virus, and they're just the people who go handle whatever that said virus is. So yeah, excited because next week we're supposed to do our manga episode, so I'm excited to see how your journey with this manga goes, honestly, and where you at in a week, because you can finish something in a week, honestly.
Season 1 of My S-Class Hunters finished recently, right, Josh? Yeah.
Yeah, and, the 11th.
Yeah, and that's 153.5, so I'm only like 13 chapters off from finishing. Or catching up, I should say. Season 2 will eventually start at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Season 2 will probably start before the end of the year.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But yeah, I think it's been a pretty cool overall week.
Also, I want to mention a manga as well, right? Since we're on the topic of the manga real quick. Embers. People should read that and check that out. Manga Plus, whatever you can find, right? The person drawing that manga is the Blue Lock assistant. So if you're a fan of Blue Lock and the way that they draw shit and stuff like that, check out Embers.
And another football anime.
Yes, sir. Soccer.
Soccer. I try to respect you, give it the actual name. But yeah.
We're American. It's fine.
It's a soccer anime. But yeah, that's what makes it exciting. Because it's like, you know, Sitten pretty much is moving on and starting his own thing. So, yeah. I've seen it on Manga Plus now. So, like, I just, like Lee, the other day, saw it on there for the first time for me. So, it's in my thing. I'll definitely start looking at it while reading it, catch stay up with it a little bit. You know, I always try to find a new soccer thing and be on it, you know me. But what are we here for today, Josh?
We're here for a lot of things, beyond. Unironically, we are here for a lot of things. But it's Black History Month. So, I feel like it's only right that this week on Josh's list, we discuss my top 5 favorite rap albums. So, let's do the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the newest sensation to the Otaku Flag podcast that will soon be sweeping the nation. There it is.
You just made the list!
That's right, it's Josh's list. Coming in at number 5, give me Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar. It's a great album. Got me through
fantastic college. Album, yeah.
To me, this is the best album Kendrick Lamar put out of all time. It's just straight bop after bop.
I would concur.
I got through a lot with this song. Got through depression, got through 2 relationships, bit of a drinking problem. Cause swimming pools was my shit. Money Trees, Backseat Freestyle, Poetic Justice, like, it's a great album. A lot of people go, yo, Kendrick only got blah 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 because of the beef and he ain't never been relevant. Y'all motherfuckers ain't listening to this album, clearly. But oh yeah, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibes also on this fucking album. Like, fucking Train.
Swimming Pools. I don't know if you mentioned that as well, but
yeah, I did. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? At number 4, this is actually a mixtape. Give me Acid Rap, Chance to Rap.
Okay.
I love this project so much. To me, this is peak Chance the Rapper.
Cocoa Butter Kisses.
Yep. No wrong. Yeah, he could do absolutely nothing fucking wrong when it came to this shit. Like, obviously, you know, he got his life together and he got married and he's divorced now. But like, good ass intro, Pusha Man, Paranoia, Cocoa Butter Kisses. Like, it's such a like
Acid Rain, Chain Smoker.
Yeah, it's because of like who's on it. Like, this was a lot of this is like the first time I got introduced to a lot of people. Like, BJ Chicago Kid. This first time I knew who like Vic Mensa was. This is the first time I heard like No Name. This is like, obviously I knew who Gambino was, but like this is like this is a better opportunity to get Gambino, even though favorite song. Could have been like, is I love favorite song, but it could have been so much better because they don't really go verse for verse on it like I wanted to. We still haven't gotten that Chance the Rapper Childish Gambino album, which is bullshit. This is the first time I heard like Action Bronson. Like, I got reintroduced to Ab Soul because of this. fire project, right? And it finally got on Spotify a couple years ago because obviously it was a mixtape. At number three, give me the blueprint. Give me the blueprint at three. I love Jay. Jay-Z to me is one of the top five rappers ever. I'm not going to go into my list because I can say that for another thing. To me, this is the essence of New York hip hop. This lives and breathes East Coast rap. It's a 10 out of 10 album. I don't say that about a lot of stuff at all. Even if you don't like Jay-Z like that, everybody can acknowledge that The Blueprint is probably one of the best albums ever produced. At least, like, not even just on a rap thing, but like on a production level, this is one of the best albums ever made. Rules Back, Takeover, Izzo, Girls, Girls, Girls. Like, it'd be weird for you not to acknowledge and respect this as an album. Like, Kanye, Timbaland, like, Just Blaze all had, like, heavy hands on this. Like, and this is young Kanye. This is, like, 01. This is Kanye when he was signing himself. Like, come on, bro. Song Cry, Jigga That Nigga. Number two, Forest Hills Drive.
I knew that this had to be somewhere in this list.
Yeah, this is number two. To me, this is my favorite Cole album ever, and it's my second favorite Cole project ever because the only thing above it is Friday Night Lights. Man, what a year it was when this album came out, man. Like, this came out December of 14. I blasted it all of 15. Get Off My Dick, No Role Models. I mean, January 28th, apparently, Wet Dreams, which a lot of people like try to like clown Cole for, because bro, why you fucking 20 something still talking about fucking bitches and losing your virginity?
So he was just telling a story of how he lost his virginity. Yeah, it was a story. It's great, it's storytelling. Track.
03 Adolescence,
like, Tale of Two Cities,
Tale of Two Cities, Fire Squad, fucking Hello,
Love apparently. Yours.
Note to Self, and then for the 10th anniversary with the bonus disc, because I have listened to it. I don't know if you have yet, Seth, but he added Home Soon, Judgment Day.
I actually just added it, by the way.
Yeah, he got a song with Bone Thugs and Harmony now. It's called Miles.
Yeah,
it's tight. Nah, bro, I love this album. And at number one, give me the Carter 2. Give me the Carter 2. This is a recent like addition into the lineup. Like, I've always been a really big fan of Wayne. But I re-listened to his album in the shower maybe like 4 months ago. And maybe it was just the day and then like off the lick and shit. But bar for bar, word for word, every song. Crazy work. And so this shot into my five, and I was like, let me rearrange this, and it barely beat out Cole. Honestly, if it hadn't beat out Cole, it would have gone to five, but it beat out Cole, and I was like, well, I like these a little bit more, and so I have to put this at one. Fireman, Money on My Mind, On the Block, which was a fucking skit, by the way. Best Rapper Alive for sure, Locked and Loaded. It's crazy work how good that fucking album. A lot of people say Carter 3.
That's what I was going to ask as well. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people prefer Carter 3. What made you decide Carter 2 over Carter 3?
I feel like it was Fireman for real. Like, between Fireman and like The Mob, because Carter 3 is amazing.
It is, yeah.
But I think I got into Carter 3 too late.
I also got into Carter 3 too late.
Because I think Carter 3.
I feel like I just got into Wayne too late, because obviously I didn't listen to mainstream rap until I got in college.
I've been listening to Wayne for a very long time, but I feel like with Carter 3, outside of like the five fucking singles, so like Amelia, Lollipop, Get Money, Miss Officer, and like I think what was the last one, like Comfortable or whatever, like those five for sure, but I think I like Carter 2 as an album more than I like the 5 to 7 songs from the Carter 3.
Fair.
You know what? Give me 2 and 3 at 1. Give me two and three. I normally said, I don't do that.
But you said it's my list. I can do what I want.
Yeah, it's my list. I can do whatever the fuck I want, right? But I think that's probably the best back to back albums ever. Like I think that's probably because a lot of people don't like four, which is fair. But I think Carter 2 to Carter 3 might be the best back to back like transitional album situation ever. Especially in rap music. I could probably name a couple others, but I think this one specifically is insane work. They're both good, but you could objectively say three is better because like its hits definitely outweigh Carter 2's hits, but I think the rap is a lot more gritty and like into the essence of what Wayne really was in the early 2000s on 2 than 3. Because I think 3, he had found that confidence and like he was like, oh, I really am the best rapper alive. Like, because I mean, he felt it on 2, obviously, because that's where the song came from, right? But I feel like in 08, when 3 dropped, nobody was questioning it, right? It was like, oh no, the best rapper is Wayne. That's like when No Ceilings and stuff started to come out. When all the mixtapes with the lighter flick, you know, Rain hopped in your beat, it wasn't your song anymore. Oh, but yeah. So, top 5 rap albums of all time are those 5. For me, at least when it comes to black people.
You know, I would love to do an actual, like, full episode on this.
I'd be down for that. My list would probably change because I listen to music consistently. But not as much as I used to, obviously, but music I like I listen to certain artists specifically now instead of just generally listening, like, oh, so and so just dropped a new album. I used to listen to everybody new shit. Now it's just like, oh, I'm gonna go back and listen to this album because I like this album from this person. Because Mac Miller, obviously, is in my top 5 in like for general stuff, but if I'm considering just like straight black people, then this is my list for sure. Recovery is also a really good album from Eminem.
Yeah. Although I'm personally not the biggest fan of him, so.
No, that's valid. I think I was a bigger Curtain Call is probably my favorite. M album. I think it's Curtain Call, right? Name of that album.
Curtain Call, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Curtain Call the hits. Probably my.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's his greatest hits album. That's probably my favorite M album because it's just all the songs that I like.
Yeah, well, that's all. That's all sweet.
He's all his songs that I like.
For me, one thing that I'm pretty sure I would really have to go through and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure. Nothing Was the Same, the deluxe edition would be in my top 5.
Oh yeah, it's a great fucking album. Damn, I didn't put a Drake. I might have to rethink that list. I went with my gut and wrote those down.
And that's fair.
For my top 5 rap albums, they're honestly interchangeable. Cause Weirdo, Donald Glover, Because the Internet, I love Because the Internet.
Yes. Because the same.
Internet, normally, yeah, I love Because the Internet. That definitely would make it. Yeah, so my 5 is pretty interchangeable. Honestly, my top 8 is probably super interchangeable. Because you can throw Nothing Was the Same because that's my favorite Drake album. Because the Internet. And then give me. What's that? Circles. Circles was really good for Mac, and then obviously, I love like Blue Slide Park and Good AM. So you can throw any of those in there, and then my top 8 is interchangeable given the fucking months last year.
Fair. I really love Marlon Craft as well, though.
Yeah, that's valid.
He's probably the like New York rapper I listen to the most.
Boogie is up there for me, obviously, too. So Hoodie Season is there for sure. What about you, Zoe? What albums in your top 10, 7, 5,
I've been
3?
trying to think of that, man, and like that's a tough one, man. Like, 'cause I'm such a singles guy. I'm such a like artist person that like, if I ain't like a big artist, like fan of your artist work, I'm not gonna like be deep into your album catalog. So there ain't too many artists. Like I've never been,
All right,
there's
if
only
a
been
lot
a
of
few
old school
artists.
niggas, yes, Illmatic with Nas and Reasonable Doubt with Jay also make it, but like again, it changes depending on diet. But Illmatic is probably another one of the greatest rap albums ever. Like no disrespect, Nas, that's the homie for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One I would really have to consider though would be like Trillium 3.
Fair.
I would really have to consider that because I love me some AHA Gazelle.
Yeah, no. Shout out, All Black Party is still one of my random
It's
fucking. I
so
found this out of
good.
nowhere
It's
song. I
so
love
good,
All Black
bro.
Party.
Revenge of the Dreamers 3 as well would be up there.
Fair. Obviously, Dreams and Nightmares would probably be like,
Yeah.
yeah.
More I think on it, like honestly, as far as like album wise, the only albums I ever really fully listened to were a lot of trap albums. So like, it's hard for me to like say, like to get in that conversation of music when I haven't like indulged myself in every form of
I feel like
album.
you know the albums, you just don't know their names.
Yeah, no, like the only, because like, I mean, for me, if you say back to back, the best album was Carter, two and three. Well, then Migos did Culture 1, 2, and 3. And that
Yeah,
literally, I mean, it.
I can't get it.
And then, but for me, that's why I said for me, I could
You
listen to every
telling
song.
me every song on Culture 2 and 3 hit?
No,
Culture 1, sure.
the
2
only
and 3, though?
album. 2 and 3, yes. The only album, if we're gonna go off that, where every song hit, the only album where every song hit, and I listened to every song and I lived by every song, was No Label 2. That's the only album I can tell you. Like I could still to this day sing word for word almost every song on that album.
That's a
That helped me
mixtape.
get. That actually no,
That's
it's a
crazy
hey,
work.
it became an
Yeah.
album. It became an
Yeah.
album later. Like it came out as a mixtape and then later became an album. But that got me through depression. Like I had just had the worst breakup at that time, and that album,
Amended.
but for real though, that album woke me up every day. I couldn't get like getting out of bed was tough, but like hearing
You're
No Label
handsome, you're
2,
wealthy, handsome.
anything on it, like got me up,
Handsome,
and I was like, let's
handsome.
do it. So, and I just and then, but their
Hey,
energy was.
okay. No label too. What is that shit? I give you that for sure.
I mean, and it was like every song on it charted, every song on it had its own vibe. So that's why I said that episode, if we did like an album episode, I'd have to really do some soul searching because, like I said, my first ever album I ever bought was Get Rich or Die Trying.
Zaytoven was in his bag on that one. Damn, God.
And so like I started off with Gangsta Rap as my first like album. So like for me, trap music has always been a core of my music. So that's why it's like nothing to
Oh,
me, but
speaking
like.
of trap niggas, I didn't say thug. I'm sorry, homie. Give me Jeffrey. Give me
Jeffrey
Jeffrey.
was a good album.
Oh.
I couldn't listen to every song, but it was a
No,
good
nah,
album.
I blasted Jeffrey like 3 months straight. My roommates were tired as fucking my ass for sure. Every shower was just Jeffrey.
Feel
I had a
like
bitch on repeat.
a lot of my top albums would be trap albums, but I feel like that's just.
Because it was so fucking random. He was like, yeah, every track on this fucking album is named after somebody I like or admire. And it's Swizz Beatz, Future Swag, Wyclef Jean, Floyd Mayweather, and then fucking Harambe. Which is a good song. I fucking love Harambe.
Hey man, creative man, I swear, because he knew what he was doing when he came out with Jeffrey. He knew what he was doing. So yeah, music is a very tough subject because I love all music. I've listened to everything, but album wise is when you're really like, I feel like I'm invested in the artist. So for me to invest in the artist, I got to really care for the artist. I've only had like a few favorite artists in my whole life. Like, and honestly, the last two, I can even like Migos. And before Migos, it really was like Walker until his thing died. So when Walker died, I had like no one. So I haven't had like a lot of favorite artists in my life. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, right. Yeah, that's just how the cookie crumbled with me. And I think I also played because I did music. So like, I was my favorite artist. I was in, you have to be kind of confident and cocky in yourself, like to do music. You have to have a little oomph. And I think that kind of just stuck with me. Even though I don't do music now, like that just kind of stuck with me. Like, I know what it takes to become an artist and what you got to do. And if I don't hear that passion, energy, and work in your stuff, I'm moving on. Even when it's something simple, like, you know, like a Gucci Gang type song. Like, did you get in the studio and put the effort in to make that song and do what it do? So like the Kalani song that came out recently. Well, not recently, but you know what I mean? Like that song he just put on TikTok. Like when he in the song, he just was singing on TikTok. And then he's like, oh shit, ran the studio, made a song, and now he got a number one hit. And like, I like that song more because I like the song in general, but like that energy behind, I felt like that was what the song was. Like a kid grind on the grind, like, who could I talk about? And da-da-da. Like just all those things that go into making music, I can feel it. And then that makes me want to like feed into the artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I get into him. So,
what the fuck did Lil Pump even do now?
He was an advocate for Trump during the presidency. Like, he was doing a lot of like different political campaign events. Then I don't know now. I think it's over now. I think once Trump won, he was like, hey, now what do I do? Honestly. But he was just recently in the news heavy for like, you know, advocating for Trump for 2024. Like, he was going to campaign events and doing things like that. So it's not like he's out the game, but he's slowly heading out.
I mean, so, I ain't heard a hit in forever.
Music-wise, no, he don't do that. Like, he stream, he go on people's streams. He, he's just a celebrity. He does the TikTok thing, content creation. He was promoting his finger brand polish for a while. Then that kind of didn't really go nowhere. So, yeah, you know. Just trying to stay relevant, keep the bills paid. Yeah. All
right, well, let's get into the actual topic, ladies and gentlemen. It's Black History Month. We talked about rap music, and the African American men who are carrying the torch. Oh yeah, also shout out Nikki. But I know somebody gonna be like, what about the women? Shout out Nikki. Shout out Meg. Shout out Glow for sure. I blast. I love her unironically at least once a day. Cardi too. Obviously, LGE's like
I want to say that's Remy. Another album. I'm sorry to cut you off. But I feel bad too because Cardi album I did listen from front to back, not by really choice. I mean, I was, you know, around women and heard it, but I actually loved that album. Like, it was fun. It was for Cardi. That was a hit album. So like, if I was to do a woman list, that would be probably my favorite woman album, honestly, of all time. Yeah, sure. Like rap wise. So yeah, no, we definitely try to give representation here. You know, sorry, we're not. Was my shit,
yeah. Even though she don't perform any of them songs anymore.
It was a bop.
Roman's Revenge was up there too. Roman Reloaded, the re-up or whatever, right? Yeah. But no. Shout out all the female rappers. But yeah, like I said, today's topic, we talked about the rap game. Now it's top five. We brought it back. I'm him / her / them moments, but the African American / pseudo African American edition. All those racially ambiguous mofos that the black community claims, like Piccolo and Jet Black from Cowboy Bebop. Yeah, this is for you. This is a shines a light on some black people in anime that don't get a lot of love. Or they get the right amount, but they get outshined by their counterparts. Who would like to go first?
So we could have included Piccolo.
I did. Honorable mention. Black adjacent.
All right, he's gonna be just my honorable mention there, because that's
my honorable mention. Was it? Yeah, Piccolo. Every time he pulled up in Fresh Drip to a fight, specifically in the Broly movie when Gohan getting his shit rocked and he about to get killed, and Piccolo throws the energy blast and blasts it off, and then it pan, the camera pans up and he's just aura farming, posting on that like little light pole looking thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. That right there.
For me, it would be Android 17 and Piccolo's fight. That was the one time Piccolo carried the Z Fighters.
Oh, when they like, just throw haymakers to the fucking chest.
Yep. He was carrying the Z Fighter. Like in that moment, that was him carrying the Z. He was the Goku of the Z Fighters. And that felt good. That felt so good. That's always been my favorite Piccolo moment because, like, you could feel like, and of course, Piccolo always carries, like, he knows he's a GOAT. But in that moment, it was like true. Goku's unoccupied. Vegeta's unoccupied. Who's our third man? And that's when Piccolo like officially became the third man to me. Because when I saw that, I was like, all right, he's third. Then Gohan kind of showed up and did his thing later. But at that moment, Piccolo was third.
Yeah, that'd be an honorable
mention for me. Seth, you said you had a couple.
Yeah, I have a couple honorable mentions. Ghislaine Josh, help me with the name of the show. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. Ghislaine saves Rudeus and Eris from kidnappers in season one.
Oh my god, hello?
Yeah, no, the same thing is happening to me.
Japanese name. Oh my god, hang on. I got you. Keep talking.
But Ghislaine saves Rudeus and Eris from kidnappers in season one. She took out the kidnappers in like 10 seconds on screen and made it look super easy. Even though like Rudeus at the time, like, yes, he was a child, but he was a very strong child. Like he was like wielding like A rank magic and stuff like that at the time. Like, so he was a very strong child and the bad guys were like throwing it off effortlessly. Jobless Reincarnation.
That hit me. I was brother.
she also like whenever she took out the kidnappers, she made the ground like cube a little. And anytime that you see somebody make the ground cubed,
I'm so tired of that animation.
I feel you on it. I do, right, but it's still like if you do it like once in your entire show, right. If you don't use it willy-nilly, if you save it for a specific purpose, then I'm here for it, right? Mm-hmm. It looked good in this scene, though, because it wasn't overdone. It was only, like, a little bit of the wall and a little bit of the ground. It wasn't like everything was cubed. It was only a little bit of the ground and a little bit of the wall. Like, that's just how fast she moved. While slicing at the same time. But that's...
Yusupon cubes is the official name for that, by the way.
Okay, got you. The other honorable mention I have is Hibana from Fire Force. Whenever we're like first introduced to her and stuff like that, and we see her sitting on the throne of like men, and then she like walks on them and stuff like that, and then she introduces herself to Shinra and shows off her powers with like the petals falling and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna remember her for a very long time. The other one that I have,
like he stepped literally.
Yep.
Literally and figuratively. Honestly, and I can say this because I'm cool with my man masculinity. She was the first girl I understood, made me understand. Oh, that's why people want them to step on them.
I understand it now.
Lethal shooter.
Not even real life. It took really a anime girl to make me really understand.
I understand it now.
No,
that's the feeling.
I look at Rhea Ripley and I'm like, yeah, I get it.
See, but now, I've seen Rhea after that. So, like, for me, that was my first, was that feeling. Like, when she first stepped on that episode, and I was and they kept going through her heels, and I was like,
The other one I have is Lenny from Tactop Destiny. I've mentioned him in past episodes and stuff like that. He's the conductor for the partner of him and Titan. And there's a scene towards the end, right? Where Lenny and Titan are having their final battle in the show. Lenny is black, yes.
Oh, he light-skinned it. Okay.
but Lenny and Titan are have their final battle together. And it's a part where, spoiler here, skip ahead 10 seconds, where they like lose their lives in the battle, but they're like, they're doing it so Destiny and Tot can like move on to the next area and stuff like that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get past who they had to.
I remember watching this. We did the episode. Yeah. I was upset by this.
I was also upset by this because I felt like they could have beat them without giving up their lives. But,
Plot
got a plot. Still one of the best, like, animated fight scenes I've seen even still. Like, that fight where she like popped out like 8 shotguns and it was like to the beat that he was conducting and stuff like that. That shit was fire.
I feel like an anime like Tack, but it's just rap music would go insane.
Yo. That's a crazy idea.
I might write that.
And then you like if you get some actually like people on the project as well, and you get some like licensing going to work and stuff like that.
Trust me, that's what you, I'm gonna write it. It's gonna be extremely well done. And then the moment I get greenlit for an anime, I'm changing all the music. we going big bang. No, for sure.
But that's my honorable mentions.
Okay, you know what? I haven't done this in a while, or maybe ever. I'll start us off. At numero 5, give me my boy Ogun Montgomery with the flaming ink when he fought Tempe, when he had to buy time for Shinra, and Ogun rolled up. And I was like, all right, cool, black dude in Fire Force. I'm like, all right, let me see what he's talking about. Then he pulled his little fire jacket off, and he's like, all right, bet, watch this shit. And then the tattoos popped up, and I was like, oh, why the black man gotta have tattoo powers? But then he started cooking.
He started like, cooking the shit.
Nah, I'm not mad at it.
It was such a quick transition, man, because I was the same way. Like, why you got that tattoo? But then we're like, okay, nah, never mind.
Nah, cool. I was like, the black man gotta have fucking firepower tattoos? I was like, come on. But then he started to cook. He started fleecing Tempe, and I was like, oh. And then he did the aura thing. I was like, oh, no, you got it. Real nice. He jumped into the air, grabbed her by the face, dragging him back down. Just slam. I was like, oh, no, that's tough. I was like, that's it. That's how you announce yourself.
This is also my top 5, but we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's at number 5. Shout out, Ogun. I made a TikTok about it. You can check that out at My Own Profit on the top with Aha Gazelle in the background. But yeah, no, I thought that was cool as shit. I really did. I was like, yo, look at new school black people showing out. Cause before that, I think we had like Clink and fucking Soul Eater. It was like the next best thing, no offense to Clink. With the twins with the fire and the lightning lanterns. But yeah, no. It was tough. Shout out Ogun. That's my number 5.
Okay. I'll go next. I'm down. My number 5 is Aokiji. Luffy and the crew running into him on that island in the very beginning, like when they first meet him and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And
when he pulls up on him, he's like, "You should probably let Robin go." Yeah.
And then he's like, "Y'all are pirates. I guess I do have to do my job." And then he like cooks their shit in like 30 seconds, and there's nothing really any of them can do about it. It's the first time that we like truly see a power gap.
Yeah.
Because anybody like Luffy got beat up plenty of times before that, but then he was able to like get himself together and with the help of his crew, or like just like getting better at fighting over the course of that fight.
First time they were truly powerless in the situation.
Yes, correct. And Luffy realized, oh, I almost lost my entire crew. That was the first time that he felt that way.
Yeah.
And that whole moment right there, I was like, okay, need to look out for him more in the future.
Yeah, no, Kuzan is 100% the definition of an aura farmer.
Yes.
Every time he goes some extra shit for no reason. I'm just like,
there's always frost breath coming out of his mouth, like Like, yeah, like you don't have to do that. You could make it look normal.
You're doing a little bit too much, big dog. But I fuck with it. Fuck with it because it look cool.
Zo?
My number five is from Afro Samurai. So, you know, fresh. You know, we just did our episode on it. Mm-hmm. I never got to see
Afro Samurai. Imagine if I hadn't made him watch the anime.
No, for real. Because I never seen Afro Samurai. I knew it was going to be five, so I weirdly enough put it back, which is weird. Because usually
we still got to watch the movie, too.
Yeah, we still got to watch the second one.
Yeah, no, that'll be coming soon. Because I'm tired of seeing it on my Crunchyroll list every time I go on Crunchyroll. But it was my first time. I've been hearing about Afro Samurai for years and everything, so I knew it was going to be amazing, but I didn't expect it to be as amazing as it was. So my number five I'm Him moment is when Afro was fighting Afro Droid, because, man,
that's on my list too.
Machine is always the typical. That's the number one battle. And I mean, there was other battles that happened in it, but something about that battle felt like personal. Like he knew, like, I gotta beat this. Not only just because it's gonna try and kill me, but because I gotta prove like I'm better than my own self. Like he was fighting himself.
Also, bro, why you lie to me? This show came out in 2007.
Fuck, you're right. Okay. No, well see, that's still a new fan. Like, I mean, as much as I respect it, I'm a new fan because I just watched. But that makes sense that I would get that wrong. But it's my number five. Like that was the one that, like, you know, it was, I had like my list and I was like, man, I feel like I'm missing something. And that it hit me like a brick. Cause I was like, after watching that movie, after we watched it and watched not the movie, but the anime. And like, I saw that, like that scene in particular sat with me. Cause I think I stopped after that. Cause I just was like, this is amazing. Like that was like the turnover point where I was like, they can't get better than this, which, and it did get a little more interesting, but that fight in particular set a tone for, if you like, he's been fighting all this. Is there a
specific moment in the fight, or are you just saying the whole fight?
When he knocked him in the water.
Okay.
Like just something about him knocking in the water and just knowing, like, you're done. You're done. So that particular, but the fight itself, yeah, from the beginning to the end. So, yeah, that's my number five. My number four, I always got to bring my boy up. I can't think of Black history in anime without thinking of my boy. I'm talking about Zap Renpro from Blood Blockade Battlefront. the ladies' man, one of the baddest on the team. He had his own saga in the show, which was always dope to me. And it's called Z's Longest Day. Pretty much he on a day where he's just chilling, relaxing, you know, mess with some women, get some food. It's a normal day. And his master who taught him how to use the blood technique pulls up and says, hey, here's a blood breed in a shell. Open it. And, you know, he's been fighting, but he ain't been training. So he couldn't open it, couldn't get it open or whatever. Hijinks ensue and a threat comes out of the portal like a big monster. And I think it was like a vampire, something close to that. But pretty much Zap had to like stop playing because we, on top of fighting this monster, they still had to handle the blood breed. And he basically finds out that his master has a new disciple who pretty much can do the same thing he can do. He's like a fish man. And he's honestly at that moment better than him at doing the blood technique. But Zap put on his big boy pants and said, I F this shit. And as he's taking on the monster, we get to see his attack, which is called Seven Heavens. So the way Zap uses his blood is he turns his blood into strings of thread, but pretty much he uses a sword. He turns it to the thread, sword, something basically very sharp, something that he can use to cut people with. So when he did the seven heavens. In Japanese, it translates to seven hell, but they said seven heavens in the dub.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, he's able to ignite his blood. So on top of like stabbing the blood in you, whatever, he's able to ignite it. So he literally turns his blood into threads, grabs his target, and ignited it. And it just, it was the biggest explosion. And I just remember being like, that's my Zap Renfro.
When did
that
show come out?
This was Blood Blockade. This was in season one.
I know that. What year did Blood Blockade
2015.
Come out? That sounds real Doflamingo. Like, I'm trying to see if they just ripped off One Piece or not.
2015.
I'll say this. People compared, they said that this show has a lot of Dead Man Wonderland-esque.
Like, I knew it was a Dead Man Wonderland ripoff, but I'm trying to see if the strange shit is just not him ripping off Doflamingo or not.
I don't think so. I think maybe manga-wise it could have been out, but this was animated at that time. So, you feel me? The manga already had been, you know, either completed or...
I mean, we were in Wano like 4 years, bro. Like,
but this, I know, I'm here, but Doflamingo came out 2016. I think Dressrosa. Oh, I get what you're saying. Because we knew about Doflamingo in the early years. I get you. I'll just say I agree with you. But I don't think it was. I do think Dead Man Wonderland got some ripped off in this show. I'll admit that, but I don't think One Piece.
Dressrosa was released manga wise 2012 to 2015. And the broadcast for Dressrosa started in 2012 and went through 2016.
So there you go. I'm just saying.
All right. But to be fair, Zap does use a sword. Like when he's doing basic fighting, it's a sword. But when he's getting serious, he uses a sword.
It's clearly heavily blood. Dead Man Wonderland based. But that, you can only use blood power so many ways, right?
Fair. All right. Basically, every time, and that's always fun to me about Black History Month is whenever we do this episode, even before, like when you look up Black representation in anime, his face always still pops up. Even though Blood Blockade isn't the most popular anime, he's always somewhere on the list.
So we gotta grab Negroes where we can.
But for real though, and that just always made me kind of happy. So yeah, that's my number four.
Seth.
All right, my number four.
Inverse.
Did.
You already went.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had a moment. I was like, wait, no. I thought we were circles. I've been playing Uno. I ain't gonna count.
Circles.
I've been playing Uno a little bit lately. So when you did that, I was like, no,
if you thought we were going in circles, why would you? No, it's fine. I'm not thinking about
that. Anyways. You know
how, like, you play Uno and then someone puts down three reverses and you get confused? That's what just happened to me. Don't put down an odd number of reverses, people. Please put even.
No, because it's reverse. Reverse back to you. It's reverse to me. Reverse back to you. Reverse back to me.
Hey, some people put out
an even number would fuck you up more than an odd number.
No, an even number basically makes it right back where it was. Like you reverse. So like it's just gonna keep going the regular way. It's like if you had two reverses, it just keeps going the regular way. They kind of cancel each other out, basically. So, yeah. We'll talk more when we do our Uno episode.
Do you think?
Anyways, my number four is the same as Josh's number five. Ogun Montgomery is my number four. Again, same fight and everything like that. But at the beginning of the fight is what stood out to me the most, right? Is... honestly, before the fight even started, he said, no, I can handle this by myself. And then proceeded to, have the flame tattoos appear. That stood out more to me than anything else before, including the fight, to be honest. That looks fucking sick. And...
bro was like, I got this shit.
Yeah. And then he proceeds to fight that demon one-on-one that everybody else was struggling with just moments before and proceeds to give him the work. Given Shinra did come in and clean up the fight, but Ogun held him off for 5-10 minutes or something like that.
Ogun did the DPS work so someone could get the final kill.
Look at you using Marvel Rivals.
I was going to say,
I'm getting better.
That's funny.
That's my number four, though.
Okay, my number four is Zoe's number five. Shout out Afro versus Afro Droid. That whole fight is clean, especially the Sky Battle part. But my favorite part in the I'm him moment for me is when the Afro Droid is charging that laser, and Afro doesn't have his sword, and you're like, oh shit, he might die. And as the laser is about to fire, Afro swords come down and stabs the droid in the chest. So as it's dying, it's fucking tilts back, and the laser fires into the sky. And you just see this giant ass laser shooting through the clouds and stuff, while Afro's out here bleeding, half dead, aura farming. Like, yeah, I just beat me better than me because it can't worry about breathing or getting tired or dying. And I thought that was cool as shit. Bruh beat a robot who knew everything he could do, but couldn't get tired, and had laser weapons. Without actually killing it in the end, without slicing through it. It got yep. stabbed from fucking inertia and fall damage. That's cool as shit. But yeah, that's my number four. My numero three, probably shouldn't be a surprise to anybody as much as I glaze this show. Miss Suletta Mercury. Versus
I
her
knew
sister,
that this was gonna
Aerie,
be in your top five and like Quiet this show Zero. Somewhere.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm gonna plug the show as much as
see. I mean, I'm and I'm just gonna be that guy because you know you always gotta have one of them. Like, I didn't know she was black because her
she's North
dad,
African.
Her dad wasn't. I remember seeing him on the show. Was he a little darker?
She is. I know her North mom African. Like, I googled it. Make sure. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, was her dad on the show? Like, that's all I'm. I guess.
Not
I'm
that glad. I remember. Not okay, no, not that I remember.
Okay, cool. Like I said, that was the main thing.
She I think she's actually like a clone of the other of Aerie. So yeah, they didn't really go into
much detail with it. Is a quote unquote clone, but the original yeah. child. That's why
right,
I was
right.
thinking
is in the robot. So the entire show, we're thinking Suletta's just like this god tier Gundam pilot. Plot twist: her older sister is inside the machine helping her pilot. And so obviously this completely crushes her confidence where mom's like, yeah, no, you're kind of useless. We just let you think that. So we're trying to bring the other one back to life and we're going to fuck over everybody and do it because of how they treated witches and blah, 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 this and that. Fuck all that. It's not important. What is important is the fact that she's 6v1 Gundam fucking mobiles piloted by her a sister when at this point when they're trying to bring her back to life, so it's caused major destruction. While the government is trying to blow everybody the fuck up for being in the vicinity of said machine. So not only does she win the 6v1 and then beat the shit out of her sister then takes over her mech and she goes into the broken one and still wins the fight. She's so fucking cool. And she convinces her mom to stop her dumbass shit. Like she gets married, or well, she gets re-engaged to the girl that she likes. Like, Nah, that whole last episode 11 is most of the fight, and episode 12 is kind of the cleanup. But it's such like I'm that bitch statement from her to be like, oh y'all don't get to tell me how my story goes. Like I'm gonna do my own thing, like Miles does, in Across. And I love that so much for her specifically because again, she's clearly on the spectrum. You can tell this is not a normal, productively raised child. Who has like all cognitive functions and social awareness, right? Mm. And the fact she was able to do all this shit in like what 6 months in time she's in school is insanity. So yeah, shout out to Suletta Mercury, shout out Wish for Mercury, my number three favorite anime of all time, my favorite Gundam anime. Top tier shit for sure.
Okay. I love it. That will be probably within, like, other than seasonals, within the next 5 anime that I watch. Because I've been wanting to watch a Gundam
anime.
No, I've watched, or maybe from the Gundam series itself, maybe, but I've watched multiple mech animes.
Yeah, no, I mean that. I mean,
yeah, Gundam, I was like, he's watched Darling in the Franxx and Sarah for the End, right?
Yeah, I've not watched Sarah for the End, but I've watched the Darling in France, 86 is technically a mech anime too.
Yeah, Tacked Off is technically a mech anime.
Tacked Off is not a mech anime,
right?
No,
no. It's not. I see what you're saying. I mean, music is definitely part of it.
Is it 86 one?
86 is a mech anime, yes. And then what's the with Lelouch? Josh with Lelouch. Huh?
Oh, Kogia.
Kogia's, yeah, Kogia's too.
I didn't hear what you said. Yeah, Kogia.
But yeah, that I will be watching that soon within the next 5 anime that I watch outside of Soul Level or Seasonals.
Seasonal.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good mech anime to start with, or that's a good Gundam show to start.
I'll say, yeah, I've been wanting to watch another mech.
I think you like Zoids too.
Oh yeah, you like. I think at least, and their seasons aren't long, so like, I think you
would. No, they're not crazy.
Yeah, it made me happy.
I think you like New Century the best. Probably, yeah. I think you like New Century. That's the team based one.
Okay. My number three though, is Usopp, in the Dressrosa arc.
Brazilian. I thought he was Brazilian.
No, Luffy's Brazilian. Usopp's African.
Okay. Where he fires his slingshot and he's up on the
look at
castle
the
wall and stuff Japan. Like that.
I mean, that's not a black man.
I said it very quietly, Vietnam. I'm like, isn't he Brazilian? I remember you telling me this before. That's what I probably got confused with.
Just a Google search, like, is Usopp black? The answer is in bold, yes.
You look at that throw and tell me that's not a Negro.
He eat, gain weight quick, lose it quick. Yeah, trust me. No, I get what you're saying.
You can be black and Brazilian at the same time, though, too.
No, for sure. Yeah, but he's Usopp is African.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, it's the part in the Dressrosa arc where he, like, fires his slingshot towards the castle. And he has to,
when his observation kicks in?
Yeah, his observation kicks in for the first time. Yeah. And... he saves, like, Luffy and Law from being turned into toys.
Which would have ruined the
entire mission. Because nobody would have remembered them. Exactly.
They probably would have been stuck there and or dead.
Nobody would have ever remembered them either. So. But, yeah, that moment for me, whenever he's, like, calculating everything and his observation kicks in the first time, and it's like he's, like, shooting it from like 20 yards away rather than what was it, like a mile shot or something like that?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like 200. 20 does not seem
far. Yeah, I was like, whoa, no, it was the longest shot. Yeah,
No. I'm saying like his observation hockey made it seem like it was only a 20 yard shot.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was a mile long shot.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I also want to credit, besides his observation, to credit his invention. Because think about what he made.
He made something like
a rocket, and it had a rocket, and it had like a bigger.
It had like three different thrusters on it.
Yeah, like besides, I mean, observation was you still got to shoot it right, but just the fact that he invented that in that short amount of time.
Yeah, that
was pretty hard.
That's like solidified to me. Okay, like Usopp, if he's not the best sniper in the world, he's like top three.
Yeah,
and
because of his brain power that he can add to that. Like if he may miss the shot, but maybe it was on purpose because of what he shoot.
Yeah, and yeah, like he also like fit it through like a super tight window and stuff like that as well.
So, if you don't mind me asking, how come that moment beat out the flag? Like him burning down the flag?
I feel like that was a group effort. Yeah, well, also the burning down the flag, like it, he wasn't himself in the moment, if that makes sense as well, right? He had on his mask. He was able to be braver than what he would normally was because he had his face covered. This was the first time.
Think it don't hit is the same because it's like Luffy being like, yo, turn that flag. And not Usopp being like, I'm going to take the initiative.
Yeah, and also like just shooting a flaming bullet through the flag and stuff like that, right? Like that just shows that he can hit a flag, right? Like,
I get what Zoe's saying, because it's like in the moment he
what's more impressive to me,
like
what's more impressive to me in Water 7 is whenever he's standing up at the top of the castle and he's picking people off, and it's a Robin from nobody knows where it's coming from, and they're like, why are people falling, why are people dropping?
That would have been, I mean, Usopp, well, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It speaks more to his skill rather than the moment itself, if that makes sense.
No, I get what you're saying. It's like beyond the emotion of the moment. This is Usopp being Usopp. And
yeah. That was the entire crew declaring like war on the world government, right?
He was just a catalyst.
Exactly. Yeah.
He just physically actually did that thing. Okay. No, I got you. Because I felt like if I would have picked Usopp, it would have been something from Endy's Lobby. It may have, like, for me, like, if I had, like, put him on my list, because I didn't even pick a Usopp, it probably would have been just him fighting Luffy.
Yeah, by the way, I meant Endy's Lobby, not Water 7. Yeah, although a lot of people combine those two together.
Yeah, but one long hallway.
Yeah. I definitely would have probably picked Luffy versus Usopp just because, like, he stood to him 10 toes down like a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, for me, just thinking of, like, my favorite Usopp moment. Besides, like, second would be that flag. Like, I get it. Speaking with y'all about it, I can understand and, like, maybe pull it down some. Because that is my favorite Usopp moment. But it wasn't Usopp. It was Sniper King. So, I got to be like, you're
but, right. But this is also not just, like, favorite moments from Black characters anime. This is, like, I'm here moments kind of thing.
Yeah, true. And that's more his way of saying I'm Usopp. The sniper for the Straw Hat.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. I'm God Usopp. So
okay.
That's my number three. So
alright. My number three.
Okay. Cool little show we like to call Naruto. And a lot of cool moments in Naruto. But this one did it for me. I'm talking about when the Kage of the village hidden in the clouds, and his brother pulled a double lariat on a no-tail beast. I'm talking about IMB pulling up on Kisame, the no-tail beast. And I ain't gonna lie, Kisame put up a good fight. Wasn't playing with him. Tried to drown him. Tried to do everything he could to take down the other tail beast known as B, the eight-tail king. And no, that wasn't going down like that, because I'm not going to just let you kill my brother. So I said, B, let's do this thing. And they went arm and locked, rushed at this guy, Seth. And when I tell you, the way the lariat went, they hit him so hard, his head came off. So a lariat is basically a clothesline. It's basically a clothesline. But what they did is they added like electric energy into it to give him speed. I'm
misremembering this fight.
Am I misremembering the fight?
Yeah, because it was front to back and not side to side.
Well, no, you're right. I'm thinking of the game. I'm thinking of the game. I get what you're saying. Yes, yeah, it was front to back. That's why the head came off, because his body went the other way. Yeah,
So Seth, most of that's correct.
You got it.
When they go for the double lariat, it's from front and back. So when they meet in the middle and their arms connect, it's after they've sliced through his neck. So you see their arms dap each other up, right? You know how you do the arm to arm thing.
Yeah.
With somebody, you dap each other up like fucking it. Armpit to armpit.
Yeah.
Not armpit, but elbow to, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So then, bro, head went flying and hit the ground. And niggas was like, oh, shit.
Technically called a weenus.
Yeah.
Be a clothesline? Yeah. Wouldn't it still be a clothesline in a way, technically?
It's still a clothesline, bro. A lariat is a clothesline. Lariat is just Japanese clothesline, right? Yeah.
Look at it. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah, you're right. They meet in the middle of his fucking neck. Crazy work.
I'm I'm looking at this picture of it now. You're right. I guess I'm thinking of like Storm and all. I guess I'm playing the game tomorrow.
Yeah, because they don't. Yeah, they ain't cutting heads off in the video game.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yes, it was such a big moment for me when I watched Naruto, because not only was it the, you know, the big known black characters on the show having a moment together as brothers, they took a man's head off without cutting it. And that just spoke to like what working, like it was like a work ethic thing to me. Like, dang, if you work out all the time, you probably be big enough to get someone's head knocked off. Like, it was such a tough, intense moment.
I mean, well, you see how JBL used to throw clotheslines back in the day. He was definitely trying to take his hands off.
But for real, like,
you add lightning in that. Yeah, I can see it.
Exactly. So, like, it just, for me, it did everything. And it was a unity thing, because, like, B was annoying. I was like, it's like that brother. You have that brother who's, like, annoying you and stuff like that. But, like, when y'all know it's time to, like, link up, you're always on it. And that's, yeah, just like me and my brother, just like I get with y'all, you know what I'm saying? When we got locked in, we locked in. And, yeah, it was such a good unity moment, as well as, you know, a good action moment. So, yeah, that's my number three moment. My number two him moment. And I feel bad. I want to say this because I didn't think, I feel like it was, I feel like I got to get better at that. But, like, I didn't have any women in my top five, but that's just because I do these things where I overthink and analyze things sometimes. And when we said I'm him kind of thing, I was just really locked in on the him, and I probably shouldn't have been so locked in. But pronouns matter, and if there's anything I've learned in these last few years, pronouns matter. So shout out to all my favorite black women in anime. I just want to say that now, because I noticed, like, right now.
Oh, damn. Not one made it? Crazy word.
Not one made it, man. I know. And that's what I said. Not, I know right now.
Not any Yorichi early moments or anything like that? Mirko.
Mirko didn't make it. Meg Thee Stallion is a direct reference for her character. So I'm going to say
not even black. The girl from Black Clover.
Soul.
Soul.
So I thought I did think of Soul. I will say that, but like, nah, I was.
I didn't put Soul either. Like, but I do have a woman in my top five. So
yeah, so I just want to say that, you know, pronouns matter. So I'll be better at that. But my number two is the same as Josh's number five. It is Ogun Montgomery showing off his tat and making a name for himself on a show that already was sweeping the nation. And we saw him in season one, and we wondered what he could do. And in season two, he showed us what the fuck he could do. And, I mean, literally, ever since that episode dropped, I knew, and I remember thinking, like, this is going to sweep, like, social media, like, cosplays, conversation, all of it. And the fact that we're still talking about this moment 7 years, no, it's not 7 years, about 6 years, no. This season two, so really like 4 years. Still, years later, which he's not even the main character. He's really a side character, but we're still talking about this one moment when he turned up. And, you know, I've read the manga, so I kind of know some things and seen some things that, like, to know, like, that this moment will carry on is really exciting to me. And I think that's the hype behind it that really makes me like this moment even more. Because I knew how I felt when I first saw it. Because when I first saw it, even though Shinra had the final blow, and it was a really cool final blow, like, he broke speed, he broke through time, but, like, I mean, broke through the sound barrier, but I still was just in the shock of what I witnessed with Ogun. And it just really touched me in the essence of, like, did I get my first tat after that? Or was it before that?
I feel like you've told this story before, so I want to say yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like it was a subconscious influence, but it definitely was an influence. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we ain't gonna say it was a good reason, but it definitely pushed it forward.
Yeah, because I really didn't plan on getting tats in my life. That's why I'm not a big tatted guy. I'm not scared of needles, but, like, I'm not from the, it's me putting something on my body that's not symbolic enough for me to want it for the rest of my life. It's a big thing to me. But he kind of made it.
Oh, did I tell y'all Reggie got a Haikyuu tattoo and he didn't realize it?
No.
Yeah.
This story just sounds good. So I'm
was wild is so he saw like the Karasuno, like, fly high the kanji with, like, the Fly High and the Crow next to it or whatever. He was like, oh, that looks cool. And so he got it. And then he was telling me about it. And he sent me because he said, I show you my new tattoo? And I was like, no, he didn't. And he sent it to me. And I looked at it for a second. And I was like, it looked really fucking familiar. And then I was like, is that Carasino tat? And I Googled it. And I was like, Reggie, did you get a Haikyuu tattoo? He was like, did it? And I was like, bro, you had a Haikyuu tattoo. And I sent him a picture. I think it did either the Fly High was in a different place or he didn't have the Crow or whatever. But I was like, yeah, bro, this is a Haikyuu tattoo. Like, have you seen the anime? He's like, no. I'm like, well, now you gotta watch the anime.
Oh wow, like, yeah, right,
it was just happy coincidence. But oh, that just goes to show you that sometimes niggas just begin tattoos.
Yeah, and I want to. I always kind of, not even want to. I'll say, like, I wish I could have that type of energy. Because I see people tattoo, I'm like, how do you do, like, what made you get each of these things? But, like you said, some people just wake up and like, I want to get tattooed. Let me go look at the book. Like this one, let's do it. That's it. And then the maintenance after a tat, bro, I don't know, bro. You got a tat, Josh?
Not yet, no.
Okay, like the maintenance after tat is like,
yeah, no, I've dated people.
You've seen it. Like it's almost like it's annoying. I'm not gonna say it's not worth it, but like you gotta like wanted the tattoo because you know the maintenance after is gonna be like at least 2 to 4 weeks of rubbing, itchy, not itchy. It's like having chicken pox on you. It literally feels like a little mini version of chicken pox. So you can't touch it. Can't itch it, you just gotta pat it, then you're slapping whatever area it is all day and feeling like a crazy head because you're slapping yourself.
Depends on how big the tat is. Some people get in and out.
Yeah, no, I mean, a smaller one, like, you feel me, you still gonna have the itchy. I'll say that. I've seen enough, like, women get small tattoos, you're still gonna have the itchy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's what the lotion and all the other shit, though.
Yeah, it's maintenance to it. It's just like hair and all that. That's why it's like,
yeah.
But Ogun really did a good thing showing the light of it. So, yeah, that's my number two.
Nice. Yeah. Me next?
Yep.
Awesome. My number two. Season six, I believe. Yeah, six. Mirko takes on the Nomus in the factory.
Yeah, I figured this would make somebody.
Yeah. And it's not like she was... She defeated some of them, right? But it's not like she was But it's not like she was winning the fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like she was winning the fight at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
But
it was the tenacity for me.
Exactly, exactly. But she also said a line that really stuck out to me in the moment and gave me chills in the moment as well. Like, I remember this. If you're going to die, Mirko, die after you've achieved your goal. And
that was tough.
Yeah. And after that, like, she's just like, let me focus on being a rabbit running away. It's easier to escape whenever I just focus on running. And then she's able to, like, smash the tank open and stuff like that. And to be fair, she would have prevented the revival if...
If plot wasn't plotting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Plot wasn't plotting. I will still say I still feel like looking at the end goal of it, she did what she like
her. She did her job because she prevented him from getting 100%, which would have made that fight a lot harder.
Yeah, no, like that could have
even
been
harder
like,
than what it already was. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It would have been way worse if Shigaraki woke up at 100%. Yeah,
physically stopped him from being 100%.
He was at like 70 or 80. So yeah, she
definitely.
Yep.
She finished the job.
Yeah, definitely a top five hero moment.
And
yeah,
also, there was also a scene where like she like smashed the like or like hooked her legs around one of the Nomu's heads and like ripped off his head like with her thighs. And I do vividly remember that.
The
insert the Yu-Gi-Oh meme here. Like it should have been me,
not him.
Me.
That episode. Funny as fuck,
bro. Every time, I can't even watch that Yu-Gi-Oh episode the same anymore. I've seen it like plenty of times on the Pluto, and I laugh every time.
Shout out Yami Yu-Gi.
But yeah, so that's my number two. I had to put Mirko in here somewhere.
No, for sure. My number two also features a certain someone from One Piece, but it's a completely different moment. So yeah, the Straw Hats are on Punk Hazard. They're dealing with a bunch of stuff. Law is out the way. Smoker pulls up thinking he hot shit. Doflamingo waxes the fuck out that man. And he on the ground bleeding, breathing hard like a bitch. No offense, Smoker, but every time he show up, he does nothing relevant. So it's just a waste of a kid. yeah, as he's about to get smoked, pun intended, and all the Marines were like, oh my god, he's gonna kill the lieutenant. No, Lieutenant Smoker. Blah, 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 blah. Kuzan rolls the fuck up. It's like, hey, the fuck you doing to my friend? And Doflamingo immediately stopped. He's like, oh shit. Well, fuck, I'm in trouble. I might as well do it. So he goes to kill. And you could tell Kuzan's serious as shit because he's like his eyes are shadowed by the glasses because this is post him losing the head admiral spot to Akainu. And so it was like, oh, it's a former admiral. How does he know Smoker? Blah, blah, this and that. And like he steps forward just a little bit and like ice starts to form at his feet and starts to go towards Doffy. As Doffy's swinging down to fucking axe out Smoker, he immediately freezes everything in that area, including Doflamingo, completely solid, yep. Except Smoker. And yep. And so it's just Doflamingo's fucking hand is like 2 inches from Smoker's chest and he's frozen solid. And Kuzan's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck you thought this was, but I told you to chill up. And I just, that is the definition of aura. Cause I was like, oh, Smoker's dead as fuck. Nah, not at all. And then he froze Doflamingo. I'm talking about he froze all the coat, the glasses, his face, everything. All Doflamingo looks like it's fucking ice statue. You can't tell the difference. And the fact that he could smash that motherfucker and just kill the warlord and he didn't was lit. I was like, oh, he him for real. Like he is the definition of HIM. Cool what? Shit I ain't seen with ice powers for real.
I was feeling that one, man. That was a heavy moment, especially having to come out of a loss. That was his first step.
And
out.
The drip like, was immaculate, bro. I had the beanie and the peacoat. I was like, all right, I see.
And then what's even crazy is like, especially now where we at and what we know now. I wonder if that he was already in that mindset at that point. Like, you know, I know what I'm about to start doing. The least I can do is protect my friend. You know what I'm saying? Like that was like it seemed like it was like the turning point. Like that's when he was like, all right, letting that marine life go. I'm gonna get into what I'm about to do. And that was like his last stop before, or maybe not last stop, but like one of the stops before, or it was probably post, you know, one of the stops after making that decision and like right. You know, just you know, that was the transition. Like, hey bro, I'm probably not gonna see you for a while, but I'll make sure you're good. So yeah, sure. It had some unity in it too, like you know what I'm saying, like that's what I guess I wanted to mention, just that family connection in it, like I'll stick my neck out for you because you're my brother kind of thing. So shout out to Kuzan. Okay. Oh my god,
number one. I mean that's his name, so it doesn't really my number one, Zoe already talked about him a little bit, but it's not that scene. Because I feel like this one's way more important and iconic. My boy, Killer B. First time we get introduced to him. He out here training in the ravines in the Land of Thunder. Because his brother was like, yo, you need to go do something productive and shit. He out here writing rhymes. Terrible rhymes, by the way. I remember the first time I saw him. I was like, that's got to be racist. But yeah, out here writing raps in his little notebook. Sasuke and Karin and Jugo. And Sugetsu pull up, all talkers together, talking that mad shit. And B looks up at these niggas, and he's like, y'all want to smoke? It's crazy work. I'm gonna write these bars while I do it, though. Immediately puts the pause on all these niggas, right? Working them. 4-3-1, really, because Karin's useless. Then Sasuke decides to get in his little head that he's gonna use Genjutsu on a Jinchuriki. And then He's like, I got him. Plot twist, Genjutsu doesn't work on a perfect Jinchuriki. And Beeb immediately clotheslines this nigga so bad, he ruptures his chest. Puts this nigga in a body bag. I'm like, oh, damn. Sasuke about to die. Oh, wait, no. Jugo saved him. Cool. And then he does it again. B turns this nigga into a whole pincushion and puts 8 swords in his chest. I'm like, oh, shit. He really about to kill this thing. Sasuke out here being a little bitch, biting Karin's arm. Like, I need energy. I need help. Send me the blah, blah, blah for the spirit bomb. Face ad. Nope. Ooh. And B works Taka completely this whole fucking fight. And then he transforms into the 8 tails. And then the only way Sasuke gets any advantage, because he has to use his cheap monkey eyeball and turn into the Mangekyo Sharingan, to use Amaterasu to set my boy on fire, which is crazy work. But B, being the genius that he is, when Sasuke cuts off one of the tentacles, B transfers all but a little bit of his chakra into the tentacle, so that way now B is transformed as a tentacle, and they just take back what's essentially a clone with about a tail's worth of tail B chakra. And Sasuke fails his mission after getting his shit split twice. And I'm just like, this is the greatest Black History moment of all time in Naruto and maybe anime. Because first of all, this is the first time we even see somebody black. And then second, he just split the main character's boyfriend's wig cap.
But I really didn't, I mean, just going off my experience, even when Sasuke pulled up, I didn't expect him to beat B. Because Sasuke was still unsure of himself, and you felt the sureness from B. Like, B, he was literally jumping around, rapping, doing, like, he was so sure of himself. I was like, oh, Sasuke.
I remember the Reddit threads and the comments and all, well, not the Reddit, the Twitter threads back in the YouTube comment. It was like, oh, bro's a character. Sasuke finna beat his ass. Like, damn, this guy be racist. He making fun of black, and then he put that bitch in a bag. Twice.
Oh, they thought he was gonna get punked. Oh, snap.
They thought they made a black man just to do some dumb shit. Nah.
Nope. They learned quick then, because that was not, and that was a slaughter.
This is when the manga was like, people were posting like the manga like as read-alongs on YouTube and shit. So niggas were like, oh, I don't know about this. And then the next chapter, body bag. Twice. Shout out B. Coolest shit ever. The niggas were like, yo, Sasuke got worried. And then like, Sasuke won the fight. No, he didn't. Sasuke lost that fight. Sasuke would have died twice if the other people weren't there. Like, no. Yeah. Sasuke lost that fight. And he also failed his mission. Nothing was accomplished. They got one tail worth of 8 tail chakra, which was not enough to get the job done. That's why Obito pulled up on niggas in the war and then stole Gyuki and B. Gyuki and Kurama. Like, it did not work the way you thought it would. Fight back. That's my numero uno.
I can agree with that one. I understand why that's your number one. I really do. I really do. I guess the double Larry just got me because it was like the brother thing.
Yeah, like I said, that barely missed my list. It was like 6-7. Okay. Outside of like the honorable mention with Piccolo stuff, because I feel like that was like pseudo number 5. But yeah, bro. I was just like, that was cool as fuck. Because we had never really seen Sasuke get his shit kicked in like that before. Even with the Itachi fight, Itachi was working that nigga, but he didn't really want to kill him. B was going to put his name on a fucking tombstone for Naruto to take back to the village. But yeah.
What's your one?
My number one is Karan from Fire Force.
When
he yells walk and he's just like walking down the road stomping, and it's like a massive explosion every single step they take because he's absorbed so much kinetic energy, I was like, okay, this dude's badass. Like, I was worried, genuinely worried for Shinra in that fight. But I mean, him, to put it in perspective, his fight with Shinra is amazing, right? But the thing that I remember the most about him is just walking down the street.
I mean, he was walking down. He said it walk. I mean, my friend's a big guy. I got a friend who's a big guy, and I remember after watching that episode, I called him. I said, "That's how you go." And he laughed, and we laughed at it because he said, "Hell yeah, walk!" And then he stomped, and I was like, "Hey, man, that's a." It's different when you tell folks what you're finna do, and then you do it. Even something simple like that, it's just such a thing. And then when you got explosions all around it, that definitely makes it kind of cooler too.
Yeah, man.
He wasn't fucking with Karan, man. He wasn't fucking with Karan. That's why, like, honestly, Karan didn't make my list because I love him as a character. It's like if I had to pick anything about like just one single moment, I mean, he just was like the world's the most strongest punching bag, I guess I want to say. Punching bag kept coming to my head, so I'm going to say that. Because you can literally hit him as much as you want. Wasn't going to do anything to him. If anything, you're making him stronger. So, like, he was, now that I'm really looking back on it, he was Wakanda technology before I got to see Wakanda technology. He was absorbing all of that stuff in and just letting it out.
That's my number one.
That's cool number one. My number one comes, it's actually, I was actually even surprised myself, but I wasn't really surprised. I just, when I really got my few that I knew I was going to pick and I like try to put them in order, this is the one because this is like why it just, for me, represents Black history because what he did is going to go on for generations. So I'm bringing it all the way to the AOT side. I'm talking about Attack on Titan. And my number one I'm him moment for the Black History Month episode is when the black man from Marley, whose name is Yonkopon, who brought the plane down for them to be able to take on Eren, is my number one moment because he single-handedly was one of the people, basically a main person, to help save the population of the entire world. And I think it was a very underrated moment when they had to fly to catch up to Eren, who was started to rumbling and was stomping on everyone across the world. And the plane started to run out of gas. It was actually talking about running out of gas early. And he was like, "I got it." And I don't know. Now, like, I think especially with all the plane crashes that have been going on lately, like, you know, that really, like, you know, just that's just a recent thing. But like, to tell these people, like, no, I'm gonna do this. Like, if this plane go down and crash, I'm going with it. But y'all are not gonna die because this is the only thing we have left to keep us from stopping the whole world from going up in flames. And I don't know, ever since I've read that moment, because I remember I read that first in the manga, it always kind of stuck with me. And then I got to see it animated, and like, you know,
you were like, yeah, this is the moment.
Yeah, because like, he's not, how do I word this? You know how like, I've had the conversation a couple times tonight, where I'm like, isn't he Brazilian? Isn't he a little this? He is black. I mean, the skin tone, the haircut, the broad shoulders, this guy literally was the representation of like a black guy in anime for me. And even recently, when I did the research on him, his name Oyakupon means the Great One, which is also a name from the supreme god of the Akan people of Ghana. So he's Ghani. So his name comes from a Ghanaian trait. Now, and that just was kind of cool, little fun fact, but it's really just his moral code and what he did, knowing, like, especially in the world he was in, like, you know what I'm saying? He even always was talking about race and ethnicity and, like, Marlians and everything that was going on at the time was really just kind of like a racial bias kind of thing. Not racial bias, but, like, just a class bias. I think that's a better way to say it. And he swallowed his pride and worked with a people who he thought he wasn't going to get along with, came up with a plan to save the world together, helped them save the world, and then was willing to risk his own life to save the world. And lo and behold, thank God, he didn't die in the plane crash, because the plane did crash as he was trying to, you know, stop the plane from, you know, crashing head first, he was able to kind of drag it a little bit. But I really just took real full appreciation, and like, I don't know, I've never seen an anime where like the whole world was finna real, like, in this essence, literally population wiped out. And but not like one big bomb or something, like slowly being stomped out, literally and figuratively. So that's a very scary situation to just run in and jump in. And the fact that he was able to do that and represent, and I just, you know, especially with the fandom that AOT have gone into, like, you know, they extended the movie in theaters across the world because people wanted it for more than one day. So, like, just knowing that that moment's getting passed on, and it's going to, as much as people are controversial about AOT, it's that controversy that's going to keep the name of it alive. And I did fall for AOT more than I even probably expected it. So, it you know, it's that resonated with me. So, yeah, that's my number one I'm him moment.
Okay.
Oh, Tackle Tank Blade is crazy work. Yeah, no. The one token black in the anime, literally. No. I think that was like one of the only cool things that I ended up liking about Tanuki. Good episode. Learned some interesting things about everybody in the group.
Yes,
ladies
sir.
And gentlemen, thank you for listening to another fine edition of the Otaku Club podcast. About an hour and a half, right?
About an hour and a half, yeah.
Pretty cool, turn up. Ladies and gentlemen, mental health is mental well. Love yourself, appreciate yourself, treat yourself. Treat yourself, excuse me. If you're being abused mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and everything in between, and you feel like you got nobody else to talk to, go ahead and dial 988. National Suicide and Crisis Hotline, talk to somebody, get you some help. If you can't talk to them, I'm sure there's somebody in your life who would rather talk to you than cry at your funeral. Our DMs are open. We ain't got shit else to do. I just want to leave you out with this. If nobody else tells you this lately, I'm proud of you. Proud of you for still being here. Proud of you for not giving up. It'd be hard as fuck sometimes. I know it. I've been there. Proud of you for thriving. I'm proud of you for just making it through the day. All you did today, you woke up and you made your bed. Hell, all you did was wake up. Sometimes I don't want to make my bed. You woke up another day. That gives you another day to make a new opportunity for yourself. Proud of you for not quitting. Because best believe, niggas wanted to check out a couple times. Yeah. I know sometimes people need that. So, from the bottom of my heart, I love you and I'm proud of you. Do something with yourself. Ain't gotta be a lot. You make a difference with the stray dog. Give him a bottle of water. Give him a cheeseburger. You know, get that homeless guy or gal $5. You ain't gonna miss it. Unless you just really ain't got it. Because I've been like that too. Yeah, mental health is mental well. Love yourself, appreciate yourself, treat yourself. And I'm proud of you. So, social media, please, and thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Oh, good shit, man. As always, you already know you can hit us up and follow us on TikTok because it's back in the app stores for the time being. So hit us up on TikTok at Otaku Collective PC. Don't forget, you can also hit us on X at Otaku Collect Pod. If you want to hit us individually, you can hit me on IG at _whataboutzoe. You can hit Seth on all platforms at C3Smooth, as well as Josh at my_ownprofit. That's OWN profit. Thank you for listening in. Seth, take us home.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Otaku Collective Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, the best way that you can support our podcast is to share it with your friends, share it with your coworker, share it with your friends that you went to college with, went to high school with, anybody that you know that loves anime, likes anime, or is getting into anime, please share it with them. We obviously love anime. We're a funny anime podcast, and we want more people to enjoy anime as well and more people to get into anime. Ultimately, our love for anime is the reason why we started this podcast in the first place and why we continue to do it as well. I don't think if any of us ever stopped watching anime that we would continue this podcast.
Probably not.
Exactly. It's hard to do an anime podcast if one of the members doesn't watch anime.
Yeah. We either kick them out or switch to something else.
I vote for the kick. You can find us on all streaming platforms. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Podcasts as well as any other platform that you may listen on. And with that said, we will see y'all next episode. Peace out, you bunch of otakus.